You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, September 8th. Two North Coast hospitals assured U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley that they will stay open. But representatives of Providence Seaside Hospital and Columbia Memorial Hospital in Astoria said federal uncertainty and the major cuts to Medicaid in the Trump administration's Big Beautiful Bill will chip away at their ability to serve their communities. Merkley has been on a tour across Oregon to spotlight the impacts of the bill on ordinary Americans. At a roundtable in Astoria with healthcare providers on Friday, he argued the cuts to Medicaid will mean higher costs for Americans, no matter how they receive coverage. Other entities that provide everything from basic medical services to mental health and recovery services told Merkley they're looking at a grim future. Many organizations worry about their ability to keep up staffing levels for a variety of services in rural areas where options for residents are already limited. Merkley says that impacts on rural healthcare providers and mental health services are among his top concerns when it comes to the fallout from Trump's bill. Republican State Representative Cyrus Javidi has announced he will seek re-election as a Democrat. The Tillamook Republican has switched his registration ahead of a September 4th deadline in order to run as a Democrat in next year's election. Javidi made the announcement in a Facebook post, writing that he didn't, quote, run for office to chant slogans or toe a party line. He said he refuses to go along with a party that does not care about freedom of speech, fixing infrastructure, and keeping hospitals open. Earlier this week, he joined Democrats to cast a decisive vote in favor of a bill in front of the Oregon House to fund road maintenance and avoid hundreds of layoffs at the Oregon Department of Transportation. He was the only Republican to cross party lines. At the time, he acknowledged the decision could make it difficult to win re-election as a Republican. But he says he hasn't changed. His party has. Javidi's switch means that the Democratic Party will hold an even larger majority in the House during next year's short session. Portland is again drawing critical attention from President Donald Trump. He told reporters on Friday the National Guard may be needed to address protests in Oregon. Courtney Sherwood reports.
President Donald Trump has already deployed National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, he says, to fight crime and disorder in those cities. Now he says he's adding Portland to the list of cities that might be next. That's after a Fox News report this week described alleged chaos at Portland's Immigration and Customs Enforcement building. Opponents to the president's immigration policies have regularly demonstrated there. They've sprayed the building with graffiti and shouted insults at officials.
We're going to wipe them out. They've ruined that city. What they've done to that place is it's like living in hell.
Trump alleged, without evidence, that the people who've recently been protesting outside the city's ICE building are paid agitators. He said he believes the National Guard would be able to stop those protests. Courtney Sherwood, reporting.
Oregon's deputy emergency manager says 5 years after the devastating Labor Day fires, the state is better equipped to handle disasters. KLCC's Rachel McDonald has more.
Patience Winningham was Lane County's emergency manager when the Holiday Farm fire tore through the McKenzie River corridor in September 2020, destroying hundreds of homes and much of the community of Blue River. As a local to the area, she was on the phone with her friends that night telling them to evacuate. Now she says there's a system in place to alert people.
The alert and warning tools that we use now, Everbridge or OrAlert, the state really stepped up and bought that and pushed it out for free to all counties to use. That built resilience and redundancy so that counties can support one another. That didn't exist before.
Winningham says it's still up to individuals to sign up for those alerts and prepare for disaster, whether it's a wildfire, ice storm, tsunami, or something else. I'm Rachel McDonald reporting.
The Labor Day weekend wildfires killed almost a dozen people and destroyed thousands of homes. Many people are still struggling with housing. OPB's April Ehrlich has the story of one family that has finally found some stable ground.
When Rochelle McMaster lived at the Salmon River Mobile Village outside Lincoln City, the traffic from a nearby highway wasn't quite as loud.
There were more trees all along the edge there by the road. There was blackberries and bushes and stuff.
Those trees used to soften the highway noise. But on September 7th, 2020, the Echo Mountain Fire burned them and all but two homes in this park. Rochelle's home was among those destroyed.
It's kind of crazy. I haven't been out here for like 4 years.
Rochelle walks along the gravel road running through the park. To her left is a line of new manufactured homes. They're identical rectangles, like storage containers with sloped roofs, and all are painted black, white, or red. To her right is an empty field.
Like right in here is where my place was.
That's where she used to live with her teenage son and daughter.
Really weird being back out here. It's unrecognizable to me. Even 5 years later, I'm like, yeah, it's still a little hard to come back out.
Before the fire, everyone had brought in their own manufactured homes, so they were all different sizes, shapes, and colors.
This was our community. Now it's all uniform. And I don't like uniform.
Rochelle owned her manufactured home outright and paid about $400 a month to rent the space in the park. But after the fire, the park's owner installed these new units. Now it's charging about $1,800 a month to rent a two-bedroom, two-bath home. Rochelle couldn't afford that on her caretaker's salary. None of the other former residents who lost homes have returned.
No one can afford it. A lot of people are in apartments, like we are.
Five megafires burned across Oregon over the 2020 Labor Day weekend, destroying about 4,000 homes. A quarter of those were manufactured homes, particularly in southern Oregon during the Alameda Fire. Manufactured homes are especially vulnerable to fire. They're not as fire-resistant as stick-built homes, and parks tend to be located along highways or on the outskirts of town, where fire is more common. When parks rebuild after a fire, they often come with newer units and much steeper prices. Many residents struggle to return and lose their old community.
The majority of us are not home. Even though we might have a roof over our heads, it's not home. We're still struggling. We're still trying to recoup from everything that happened to us.
Since the fire, Rochelle has bounced between friends' houses, hotels, and apartments. But that's about to change.
Looks like they did a little bit more than last time I was here.
Now, in a quiet residential neighborhood in Lincoln City, Rochelle walks outside a three-bedroom, two-bath home that will soon be hers. In November, she learned she'd be getting a home through Habitat for Humanity of Lincoln County. All that's left is pouring cement for the sidewalk outside.
I've gotten to go in, and it's beautiful. I'm so excited that we get to move in here soon.
She walks around mounds of dirt and points to a large bay window.
This is one of our favorite things, so it's a nook.
A nook where her daughter can cozy up and read books, something she said she's always wanted.
So this is the master bathroom,
uh-huh.
And then laundry room. And then
Rochelle continues walking around the home, pointing out her daughter's room, her son's room. She explains how her daughter is going to paint a family tree on one of the walls.
It's going to be kind of nice, you know, having a home that no one else has lived in before. No one else has done things to. So everything will be brand new.
You get it started. It's history.
Yes, I do. And I'm like, this is wonderful.
What Rochelle is looking forward to most is regaining what the Labor Day fires took from her, a sense of stability.
There's no chaos. I'm looking forward to that so much. It's going to be nice to finally have that peace and quiet again.
While Rochelle says she will always live with the grief of losing her former home, her former community, she says she's looking forward to forging this new chapter in her life. I'm April Ehrlich, reporting.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, a chance of showers later this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, a chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, more chance of showers, patchy fog before 9, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the high 60s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday, and you'll always find today's local and regional news at kmun.org/news. Tomorrow is the start of KMUN's Fall Pledge Drive, This is when we ask our community for their continued support to keep us on the air and keep us informed about what you want to hear. To donate, you can go to our website, KMUN.org, and click on the red donate button, or you can call us at 503-325-0010. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.